Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. John, chapter number 21. With tomorrow being Valentine's Day, the Lord kind of led me to this passage of Scripture. I know it's something that we've talked about over the years. It's really an interesting question that Jesus asks Peter. He says, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter, of course, defends and says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." I think most of us would say, of course, if God asks us, "Hey, do you love me?" And our response would be, "Of course you know I love you." But here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is trying to help Peter, who made a mistake, who failed, who denied Christ three different times. He's calling him into the ministry or recalling him into the ministry here in this passage of Scripture. And he's helping someone who's struggling. I think one of the reasons why I enjoy this passage of Scripture so much is because it speaks to our hearts. Because many times we make mistakes, we fail, we don't love God the way the Bible tells us we should, or at least we should be striving to. And we see how Jesus deals with Peter in a very kind, tender way, but very passionate way, and kind of just puts things in perspective. So this morning, the title of the message is, "Lovest Thou Me?" We often say that we love God, and you hear the hymns probably that we sang this morning. I know on Wednesday night, it seemed like every hymn talked about, even the special music talked about the love of God. And we sing songs, "My Jesus, I love thee," or "How I love Jesus." But does that mean that we love God? And that's where Peter here is very confident. In verse number 15, he says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He gives that answer. But God knows Peter's heart. God knows our heart also. He knows the areas where we're lacking and when we're needful. Have you ever asked somebody, "Do you love me?" Boy, that's a tough question to ask because you don't know what the response is going to be. And it's nice when you already know that person has those feelings. Jesus asked Peter, says, "Lovest thou me?" And I think there's some really important things that we can see here this morning that will be an encouragement and help. There's something that was missing in Peter's love. As we take a careful look at this passage of Scripture, I think we're going to see some things and test our own love for God today. We're exalted or encouraged to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with every part of us, our being. We should love Him more than anything else. And here, that's what Jesus is asking Peter. Let's go ahead and read. We're not going to read the whole chapter. As I said, many of you are familiar with it from past sermons. It's really interesting and the different words that are used for love in the Greek language, all those different things. But we're going to focus pretty much this morning on just some different thoughts about our love for God. John chapter 21, verse number 15, the Bible says, "So when they had dined," they had just finished eating. It was a miraculous miracle by Jesus. They had fished all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus says, "Hey, throw your net on the other side." And they pulled out a huge amount of fish to the point that it would naturally break the nets. But instead, the net stays and they're all there and the fish are all there and they're eating dinner together. A nice fish dinner. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter," so this is after they had finished eating, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I think we're going to read the whole passage and we'll come back and start breaking apart some of those verses. "He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." I wonder what we would say today if God said, "Do you love me?" "He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." "He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him, The third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." The description that's given there is saying when you're young, you got to make your own choice and do what you want. But there's a day in coming when there is someone who's going to make you do something that you rather that you didn't want to do. Verse 19 gives explanation. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, we know this to be John, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saying, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's a humbling time in our life when we begin to consider how much we love you and we see how much we fail. God, I pray that today, each person in this room, that you would speak to their heart. Lord, there's probably some here today that don't know you as personal Savior. Lord, I pray through the understanding that the love of God means and what you did for them, Lord, that they will see themselves as sinners, that they'll turn to you. And God, I also pray for all the believers in the room, that we would leave this place loving you a little bit better, having a better understanding of what it means to loving other things before you and how we should repent of that. God, help us today. Speak to our hearts. Work in our lives. Make today a difference that will matter for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse number 15 is probably where we'll spend the major part of the sermon compared to the other points. But the first point is the preeminence of our love for God. The preeminence of our love for God. Jesus is asking Peter, lovest thou me? Now, does Jesus know that Peter loves him? He does. Does Jesus know that in Peter's heart there's something that's lacking? He does. Does Peter understand that there's something lacking in his heart? Probably some, but not really. He probably thinks he's okay. Like if we went around the room today and said, hey, do you love God? You're like, sure, I love God. Or do you love him like you should? Yeah, you know I love. God knows I love me. That's enough. God knows me. But here he's teaching us something I think we can all ask ourselves. Do we love God? I think most of us answer just like Peter. Yea, thou knowest that I love thee. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But look at the question he asked in verse number 15. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And there's a couple of different thoughts here. What is he talking about more than these? Some people think because earlier before Christ had died, Peter made an assumption. He said, look, though all these guys betray you, talking about the other disciples, I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. I'll never this. He was saying that his love, no matter what anybody else does, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. But later on, within a certain short period of time, he denies Christ three times. So some people think that when Jesus is there with these others of his disciples, he turns and he says to him, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Talking about the other disciples. And some people think that. I understand why they think that. I don't, after studying and looking at it, that's not the way I would look at it. I believe right there on the ground, he's cooking something. There's fish that are cooking there. And you know, some people think, yeah, I love fishing, but I don't love it more than God. The idea here is Peter used to be a fisherman. Peter, at the beginning of the chapter, instead of waiting for Jesus, like Jesus had told him to do, he goes fishing. He takes these other guys going fishing. And many people think he was discouraged, and he was, because of his past failures and because of his past sins, maybe he didn't think he would be able to be ever used by God again. And I think Jesus, when he's there, he's looking at them and he's pointing. You got to picture yourself there. They're there. They just finished eating. The disciples are there. They all know it's Jesus. He has died. He has risen from the dead. And he's met with them a few different times, and he looks at them and he says, lovest thou me more than these? He's talking about his fish. He's talking about the thing that he used to be able to trust in. He was a fisherman. He had his business. These were the things that he held on. It gave his career. It was his family business. And he's saying, do you love me more than what this world has to offer for you? Do you love me more than what this job can get you? And he taught him something, and Jesus taught the best object lessons. That night when they went out fishing, fished all night long, and they came up with no fish. Over and over and over. And Jesus comes out and says, hey, have you any fish? And that's the worst question you want to be asked if you're out fishing and you don't catch anything. No. And he says, guess cast the net on the other side. What most of us would be thinking, of course I cast the net on the other side. And they cast that net, and they realized that it was Jesus. And Jesus came and died. And the thought behind the thing is here, is do you love him more than what this world has to offer? Do you? Consider the thing that you're most passionate about in your life. And that's what he's asking you. Do you love me more than these? Now, for us, some of us would be like, fish, of course. I love God more than fish. I don't even like fish. I don't even like going fishing. Don't like gutting fish. Well, that's Peter's example. But what about in your life? We're not talking about Peter's love because we learned something from the apostle. We learned that many times we lack, sometimes we fail, and God wants us to love him the way he deserves to be loved. He wants us to worship him the way he deserves to be worshiped. He wants us to glorify him the way he deserves to be glorified. And the only way we can do that is by loving him the way he deserves to be loved and expects us to love him. So he looks at Peter and says, "Do you love me more than this?" And he's talking about what the world has to offer. And that's the question of the day. Do you love God more than whatever these are for you? And it can be lots of different things. I can tell you at different times in my life, one of those these of my life would have been sports. Love sports. I loved playing it. Wasn't very good at any of it. Loved watching it. Even enjoyed coaching it. All those different things. But there was a time in my life that when I was getting my heart right and God was calling me to preach for the second time, he came to me and he says, "Do you love me more than this?" And he's talking about sports. I enjoyed watching Pittsburgh Steeler football. Amen, that's right. I enjoyed watching Duke basketball. And that year, Duke was going to the championship game and other things like that. But for about a year, I stepped away from sports altogether. I think my wife thought I was going crazy. But at the same time, God was working in my heart and he was showing me there are some things in your life that you love too much because you love it more than me. And that's what he's looking at Peter, and he's saying, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And there's a lot of things we could put there. Our jobs, our hobbies, even our loved ones, even sometimes people inside their ministries. There's lots of different times when people can say, and that's what he's looking at, and he says, "You're supposed to love me supreme. Do you love me more than this?" I look at Scott there, and I would say about Scott, I say, he loves race car driving. Why in the world somebody would love race car driving? That's good for him. But, you know, and it's be to Scott, "Hey, do you love me more than race car driving?" And Mr. Barry loves taking sailboats and taking his boating out. And it's the idea, do you love me more than sailboats? Do you love me more than basketball? Do you love me more than football? Do you love me more than whatever it is that you have there? He's looking at it and he's trying to make the question personal. And that's what I want you to do this morning is put this as a personal question to yourself. Do I love God more than this? Matthew 10:37 puts it this way. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might," is found in Deuteronomy 6:5. And he says, "Mother and father more than me is not worthy of me." He even goes as far as, "He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And sometimes we make our family an idol. He said, "Well, we're supposed to love our families." I know that. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to love them the way that God has enabled us to love them, and we're not supposed to love them with a great extent. But our love for God should pass all those things, whether individual, whether sport, whether activity, whatever it is. Do you love God more than these? And I think sometimes God is coming to us and speaking to our hearts and trying to be compassionate like he's doing to Peter. He's teaching Peter a lesson. And he says, "Hey, do you love me more than these?" The reality is our love for God is many times prominent, but not preeminent. And most of us are happy with prominent. Most of us are happy with the idea, okay, I love him a lot, but that's not what he's looking for. He's calling Peter into a ministry here where they are going to turn the world upside down. He needs someone who loves God supremely and preeminently. Peter's struggling because his love had failed. He'd been prideful. He'd done all those different things. He had denied Christ. These things in our lives tend to steal our love for him. But I believe God is saying, if you will take care of these things, I'll take care of all the rest. That's why I think he taught him with that fishing lesson. You can work as hard as you want to in this flesh, and you're going to come up empty. But with God's help, you can do things that are supernatural. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I'm not saying Mr. Scott should stop racing cars. I don't think he listened to me anyway. I'm not saying Mr. Barry should stop using his boats. And I'm not saying everybody else needs to get rid of everything. God might not tell you you need to get rid of certain things like he did in my life to make sure he was reigning preeminent in my heart. But I'm telling you is that he should be number one. And if he's number one, it's something we have to be willing to lay aside. I think one of the reasons why people struggle with besetting sins or turning away from a certain sin and they don't want to deal with certain sins, I think number one reason is because they love that sin. They say, I love God, but I love that you're only going to have one master. Now, I know people don't understand the goodness of God. I know people don't understand some of the other reasons about sin's pleasures, and some people don't understand because of their pride. They think they can't handle that sin. But the number one reason I believe why people do not love God the way they should is because they love their sin too much. And that's, he's looking at Peter, and Peter's got something in his heart that needs to deal with before he's going to be ready to be called back into this ministry and be able to lead this great group at Pentecost and preach the word of God and see thousands saved and God move in miraculous ways. He needs to, Peter, understand something about himself. He needs Peter to deal with something. And he asks Peter three different times, and each time he says, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. And if you go down in verse number, I believe it's 17, Peter was grieved. And we know he changed the word love. He went from that agape love to the other love. We understand it, but he was grieved the third time. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And so I want you to think today, do I love God? Then ask God, God, do I love you like I should? God, is there a these in my life that I need to clean up so I can love you preeminently? I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you prominently. And some would say, well, you know, I love God. I have an affection. I like him. I'm here at church. He's definitely a part of my life. And then there's others that says, you know, he's prominent in my life. He's what I base things around. And then there's those that are saying, I'm striving to be him, make him preeminent in my life. And that's what God is looking from Peter. Second thing I want you to think about, not just the preeminence of our love, think about the response of our love. Think about the response. If he is preeminent, we love him more than anything else, there's going to be a response. If you love someone, you're going to respond to it. Tomorrow, I know some people have different opinions of Valentine's Day. Some people think it's this made-up holiday that's just for the cards and the candy so they can keep Hallmark and company, Hershey and company, and all those different things. That's all Valentine's Day. It's nothing but a sham. And then there's other people over here that think that Valentine's Day is the greatest day of life, and it's where you truly show your love and this and that. You say, where do you land? I land somewhere in the middle, probably more towards that side, but I think it is a nice day to be able to show our appreciation or love for someone, because sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we don't show our appreciation and love for our wives or our husbands or our families like we should. So it's a nice day to stop and say, hey, you know, I love you. And let's take some special time to reconnect and all those different things. There's a response. If you love somebody, there's going to be a response. Each time that Peter was asked of the Lord, lovest thou me, what does he do? He gives him something to do. Verse 15, he says, feed my lambs. Verse 16, feed my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. And all those have different meanings. I'm not going to go through all that. But he's saying to him, if you really truly love me, don't worry about these, the fish. He says, I got something I want you to do. And if we're really truly going to love the Lord, it's got to come to this moment in time. How am I going to direct that love? What does he tell me to do? How does he tell me to show him that love? There's going to be a response. And if you say you love the Lord preeminently, guess what? There's going to be something he wants you to do. There's going to be something he's called you to do. He's called us to do so many things. We're going to love those things that he loves. And because we love those things that he loves, it's going to be something that we're going to desire to do what he asks us to do. See, love is not an abstract thought or idea. It is always a tangible object. The fact that God loves is great. The fact that God loves the world, it's awesome. But when you make it personal and say, the fact that God loves me, that makes it wonderful. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us because we are sinners in need of a Savior. Until we fully grasp a hold of that, we're never going to be able to love God the way he deserves. It's when we understand that we're sinners and that he saw that we had a need. We were all headed straight to that place called hell, all on that pathway. And he knew that. He died for our sins to make that sin payment for us. He paid a debt for us that we could not pay. and he paid that debt. And it's simply trusting and believing him, turning to him and asking him to save you according to what the scriptures say. Putting your faith and trust, seeing that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you're lost and in need of a savior, and believing and trusting in him. Once you make that personal, there's got to be a response. And when we see the love he's had for us, we can say that we love souls, but do we truly go and tell others? We can say we love the church, but do we serve in the ministries? Do we partake in offerings? We can say all these things, but when there is true love that is preeminent, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a response. It says the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So if we would understand the love of Christ, we're going to see that there's an expectation here. Peter says, you know I love you. He says, feed my lambs. He says, hey, yea, Lord, you knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. He said, you knowest all things. You know everything about everything. Why do you keep on asking me this? It's because there's something you need to change, because I got a plan for you. You're not going to be able to accomplish the things that I have for you until I'm reigning supreme. Now, we might, and once again, Peter, I'm sure, was doing good things. He was out fishing. He wasn't out gambling. He wasn't out stealing. He wasn't out. He was doing something probably to help provide for his family and things like that. And he says, but there is something you got to remember. If you're truly going to love me the way you are supposed to, there's a response that's needed. And today, I think sometimes people put that word love and make it really, really cheap. And they talk about that it's probably more like lust in our communities and in our society today than really what true love is, at least biblical love is. If you're really going to love him, then there's going to be a response to that love. Don't sell it cheap and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And then never expect that you're going to respond by doing what God's called you to do. Third thing I want you to think about is the cost of our love. The cost of our love. Now, I didn't date very much in high school, so guys, don't be laughing, okay? But I was taught as a young age the importance of dating, and even as I got older and even more mature, even the understanding of the difference between dating and courting, all those different things. But there is one thing, and to be honest with you, that I had maybe one girlfriend, two girlfriends before my wife, and I wish I never had any, to be honest with you now, looking back. But there's one thing I learned about having a girlfriend. Boy, she was expensive. I mean, when you went out somewhere, not only did you pay for your meal, you paid for her meal too. And I'm thinking, boy, is she worth it? Now, none of the other ones were worth it until I met my wife. And so, and she probably would tell you she helped pay for some of her meals anyway. She obviously is a blessing, and it was God that worked it out in those times. And I learned something in the other relationships, and I learned something now. I try to teach into the young people the importance of waiting for God's right one. You don't have to go out there looking. God can bring you the right one. The importance of allowing God to work and being willing to wait, and the difference between you shouldn't just go dating around all a whole bunch of people just to find, that's not God's way. But that's a whole different message. But there was a cost that was involved in developing relationship. And Jesus here tells Peter, he says, oh, great, you love me. That's wonderful. Everything's going to be pretty and great now. Everything's perfect now. You love me. He says, now that you're saying you love me, remember that costs something. And the cost to love the Lord is something that many people don't understand. Christ died for us. And because of that love, we love him. But look what it says in verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest. Jesus is predicting the future for Peter. In verse number 19, it says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He's saying that Peter, I know that you love me. I know what you're going to do, but this is going to cost you your life. And if we go and we listen to history, it tells us that Peter was not only martyred for the cause of Christ, he was crucified. Not just crucified, he was crucified upside down. And that's what he's talking about there, that Peter, someday it's going to cost you your life, but it's worth it. I want to encourage you today, when you're looking at, oh, how I love Jesus, how do you love him today? Is it preeminent? Because if it's preeminent, that means you're going to have a response. And if you're not responding, there's something wrong there. We need to go back and say, Lord, I love you. I know there's something. Help me love you the right way. Show me what these is in my life that's stopping me from loving you like you deserve. And help me to respond to that love. But don't forget there is a cost. Jesus never painted some picture saying that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be great from now on. No, he wants our lives to be something to understand that when we love him, it comes with a price tag. Sometimes the world will turn their back on you. Sometimes friends will turn your back on you. Sometimes family will turn your back on you. Sometimes you'll be misunderstood. Sometimes for the cause of Christ and the love you have for God, there are going to be people out there who question you because they don't understand it because they don't love him supremely. God desires that we would be willing to respond, even no matter the cost. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What the scripture is saying is if you love him the way you should and you realize he died for you, he didn't die for you so you can go and live whatever way you please. He wants you to live for him now, which means saying no to self. Now, dying for Christ may even be easier than living for him. You say, what do you mean? Well, once you die, you're in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Even in Philippians, it talks about how it's gain. But living for him every single day of our lives could be difficult. It may cost you something. It may cost you fame and fortune. But is it too much for the one who died for you? The one who asked us to live for him. Listen to that verse again. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You may say, I have plans. If you're going to love him supremely, the response is going to cost you something. It's worth it. Think about what it says in Luke chapter 14, 27 to 33. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What the scripture is saying, we need to consider the cost, we need to count the cost. And yes, he deserves to be supremely in that response, but that response is going to cost you something. But let me tell you, it's worth it. It saves you from a life of sin. It saves you from a life of heartache. It shows you that God can use you to bring people to Christ. There's so much that God can do with a surrendered life that loves him the most. But it costs something. And he tells us that. But not least, it's the demonstration of our love. Look what he says at the end of verse number 19. He says, follow me. This is how we demonstrate it. We can all say, I love you, and we've all probably met people, I love you, while they're stabbing you in the back. I love you, there's a cost for this. It's an illustration about the last point I didn't say. It's going to cost you something. You know, when I got married, my wife didn't let me bring the other two or three girlfriends with me. I had to say, nope, no more. I had to say that a long time ago. Actually, I think they said no more, not me. But at the same time, there are certain things we have to leave behind. And it's talking about these things. That thing that God maybe spoke to you at the beginning. Yeah, there is something that's competing with the Lord. There is something that I care maybe more about than I do God. Remember, there's a response that's going to happen. That response is going to cost you. And the way that you show it is by following after him. Peter was sure now that he truly did love the Lord. He learned his lesson here. He was willing to die for him. Now, before he said, I'm willing to die for you. And I think he was being sincere back then. But he missed the point. And he learned the lesson. Martyrdom would come. And the reality is it came because he followed him. Now, if Peter would have been in a number of different times, we see in the stories that Peter would have said, no, I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore, he wouldn't have lost his life. You know, he was there in the temple, and they took him, they beat him, and they said, don't go talk about him anymore. And he says, should we obey God or man? And he says, we're going to obey God rather than man. time after time. He could have said no about going to see Cornelius and got out of God's will. It wouldn't have cost him his life. But what really puts the proof is that he follows after him. Is he perfect from then on? No. Remember, I think Paul was the one that had to rebuke Peter for going and sitting with those from Jerusalem in one of the epistles. All those different things. To say words, it's easy. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. To say words is easy. But the proof is, are you following today? In your life, are you following the Lord? He says, well, I want to follow. What did he tell Peter that night? Remember when Jesus, at the hardest moment of probably anyone's ever existence, goes and says to his three disciples, he says, watch with me. He says, watch with me. He goes to these three that his inner close circle, if anybody was going to watch. And what do? They fall asleep. He wakes Peter up. Because remember, Peter said, I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to do all these things. He wakes up and he says to him, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And then he says, the spirit is willing. Make sure I say, right, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. And you say, yeah, I want to be one to follow Jesus. It's going to only start when we love him supremely and when we love him with our whole heart and he is preeminent in our life. We're going to respond to that. You know how that response is going to cost us something, but we're going to keep on following him. That's the truth. That's how you say, am I following the Lord today? Do I love him? If you love me, keep your commandments. Keep my commandments. The spirit truly is ready, it says in Mark, but the flesh is weak. He wants more than just our words. He wants performance. See what it says in 2 Corinthians 8:11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. It's not just saying, it's performing what he's called you to do. So if Jesus asks you today, lovest thou me? What would your question be? Answer be. I think it'd be like Peter. Wouldn't all our answer be? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Then he says, lovest thou me more than these? Because if you love me more than these, there's going to be a response. And if there's a response, that response is going to cost you something. And the only truly way we can demonstrate our love for God is by following after him. I come to that moment in time, you say, well, Pastor, isn't works just enough? We're busy, we're serving, we're doing all these things. And I remind you of that church of Revelation, chapter number 2, that church of Ephesus, where he threatened that he was going to take the candlestick away unless they repented and became zealous. Remember the first love. Remember the first works. What was the problem? Did they not serve? Oh, they labored. Did they not be patient? They were patient. Did they not work? They worked. But the Bible says they left their first love, which meant that there was a time that they loved him preeminently. And he says, because you stopped loving me preeminently, you stopped responding the way you should. You didn't really like the cost. And instead of following after me, you began to follow after your own traditions, your own way of doing things. And on the list of things to the world outside, you look great. But he's looking at you and saying, do you love me more than even that list? Do you like love me the way you should? I want to encourage you this morning. In a church like ours, and I love our church, I love the people here, people that are visiting and thankful that you're here today too. But one of the things that will kill our church or be a church that dies. Now, don't get me wrong. You can still have church and not meet with God. In Revelation chapter 3, it gives that, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is outside the door in so many places they call church today. It's just sad. But we don't want to be a part of a church that is dying. We want to be a part of a church that loves the Lord and that is growing spiritually. And some of the concerns here, and amongst every church, anywhere, even amongst ourselves, is do we love God the way we should? Is he preeminent? Because if so, there's going to be a response. And that response is going to cost something. It's not just, I'll get away with it. It's not that big of a deal. There is a cost that's involved, and not the cost that you want. Because I've seen people give of themselves, like it says in 1 Corinthians 13, they even offer their body to be burned But if it's not done with charity, it doesn't matter. And that's not as I get the idea there. They were willing to sacrifice, but it's the cost that God wants us to pay, which means dealing with these so that way I can follow him. This morning, let God ask you this question. Lovest thou me? And when we all respond, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Let him ask you, do you love me more than these? And ask the Lord, is there something in my life that is the these? Is it the fish, the apostles? Doesn't really matter. It's what was in competition for our love for God. Because if we love him preeminently, there is going to be a response. And there's something wrong with our response. There's something wrong with our love. And if we have a Christianity that cost us nothing, we don't have much at all. Because we're not following after him. Because the Bible says, if you pick up your cross and follow after me, what do you have to do? Deny yourself. And I think there's been too many times in my life I haven't been willing to deny myself. I want to do this. I want to do that. But as long as I don't have to give anything up, it's okay. That's not the type of love that he's talking about. That might have been the type of love that Peter had. Yeah, let's go fishing. I could take it or leave it. That's when the Lord looked at him and said, do you love me? This morning, do you love him? More than just, yeah, you know I love you. I like you. I got an affection for you. Do you love me more than anything else? Because there's going to be a response. And that response is going to cost you something as you follow him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today.